I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome to the Ali Perspective. Now, guys, I have to talk about this. I went to sleep Saturday night thinking tomorrow is going to be a great first Sunday of the month. Go to church, have a nice, peaceful Sunday. But then I wake up, and the first thing I see, Luka Doncic, yes, traded to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis. My immediate response was, oh, what in the world is going on? And my immediate thought was, why? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? If I'm Dallas, you just traded away your franchise player, your almost $300 million player to the Los Angeles Lakers, and he's only 25 years old, for a 30, if I'm not mistaken, a 31-year-old Anthony Davis. Now, why would you do that? Because just looking at it, first thoughts in my mind, there's no rhyme of reason for doing that. Me personally, if I'm a GM, I wouldn't do that. I don't even know why that's on the table. I don't know why that's a thing. I don't know why that was a thought, okay? But then I sit back and I thought about it. And you know how people always say, who's the winner and the loser of the trade? The immediate winner are the Dallas Mavericks. You're going to get a center, an active center, who when he is healthy, he is very dominant, arguably top three in the league when he's healthy and he's doing what he needs to do. He's rebounding. He's shooting the ball. He's getting fouls. Like, Anthony Davis is a legit center. He's a legit superstar, okay? So you're getting that, and then you're getting someone that can coexist with Kyrie a little bit better. Not that Luka and Kyrie were just like two polar opposite players who couldn't coexist on the same team. It's just both of them are very ball dominant, very much let's run the offense through me. Even though I think Kyrie's still a point guard, he's still going to pass the ball, where Luka is, give me the ball, let me make something shake. But I think the coexistence of Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving on the Mavs are going to give the Mavs the edge. I think after the All-Star break, we'll really be able to see how good that they can be. After I say, I'll give them 5 to 8 games to really see how they gel and how they communicate. But I think the immediate winners of the trade is definitely the Dallas Mavericks. Now, in the long run, I think the Lakers are going to be the winner of the trade. With Luka being as young as he is, and I know he's had injuries this season, I know he's not been the best in shape, but we cannot argue that when this guy isn't healthy, he's definitely top five in the league. Okay, I mean, only thing about him is, though, defensively, he sucks. He does. The proof is in the tape. The guy plays no good defense consistently. Now, sometimes he can lock in, he can get the steal, you know, he can come up with a big rebound, or he can come up, you know, and just make a difference, but he's not consistent with it. And I think the Lakers have been not struggling defensively, but they're not top 10, top 15 defensive ratings in the league. So you just got worse defensively. But my thing with the Lakers is, if they can do right by Luka and build the team that will fit his playing style, but they're going to have to be very meticulous about who they go out during the offseason, even at the end of the trade deadline, because we got a few more things to, few more days, few more hours to with the trade deadline. But the Lakers are going to have to be very meticulous about who they draft, who they pick up, if they want this Luka trade to work out in the end. And then obviously I feel bad for both players, because both players seem to be very shocked. Like, normally it's just the fans that are shocked, but I watching the reactions from Luka and AD, I definitely saw both players being shocked and, you know, just surprised, as we all were waking up to that news. And then in other NBA news, today, another trade has happened. Not as big as that one, but Kyle Kuzma has been traded from the Washington Wizards to the Milwaukee Bucks, where he will team up with Damian Lillard, as well as Giannis. And I think that that's an interesting trade. I don't necessarily see how that's going to work. Not that I don't think that the three of them can coexist together. I just don't think that's going to be like a trade that when we get into the playoffs, we'll be like, this was a trade that Milwaukee needed to get back to the finals. I don't see that. And then on the other end, I feel a little bad for Chris Middleton. You know, guy has had injury after injury since winning the finals a few years ago. He just really hadn't gotten back into form. And then now you go from being with Dame and Giannis to getting traded to the 8-win Washington team. And I don't think that he's going to get to Washington and help them turn it around. I think he'll be traded from Washington soon enough. I don't know who necessarily would want to go pick him up because they're going to, whoever gets him, they want to make sure that he's going to be healthy and consistent, which he hasn't been the last 2 or 3 years. So, that's another trade, but it's not as big as the other trade. And now there's talking about another 3-team trade possibly involving the Miami Heat, the Phoenix Suns, and the Golden State Warriors. Now, the trade will send, I don't want to get this wrong, okay? I know they're talking about sending KD to to Golden State. And then possibly the Suns getting Jimmy Butler. And it's one more player. It's escaping me, guys. I apologize. But I really want to focus on Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, all sources are saying that he's definitely going to get traded out of Phoenix. But he's saying that if he is traded, he's not looking to reunite with the Warriors. He's like, that ship is sailed. That ship is done. I don't want to do that. Okay? And I get it, you know. There was a lot of talk. It was a lot of things that was possibly said in that locker room. I mean, we all know Draymond is kind of a loose cannon, and there's no telling what has taken place in that. But I know KD is like, no, he doesn't want to go there. Then on the other hand, Jimmy Butler is like, I want out. I don't want to be in Miami. I don't want to be here anymore. Get me out. I don't know what team would be best suited for Jimmy Butler, but whatever team Jimmy Butler goes to, I think he's going to be a difference maker. And I think he's going to be able to elevate a team and help them get to where they need to be. Okay, now another trade that happened. De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings, who I love him as a player. I love his game. He has great post-up, great mid-range, great range. He can pass the ball. He's a good facilitator. He is now going to the San Antonio Spurs to team up with Victor. I'm going to just call him Victor. I don't want to mess up his last name like that, so I'm just calling him Victor. And I think that's going to be a really good pair. I think that pair is going to make some noise. I mean, it's only his second year, and he's going to be a legendary player. I mean, with his size, his ability, even how he was in the Olympics, like, that's going to be a guy that the Spurs got them another franchise player, okay? And I think De'Aaron Fox is going to help elevate him. He'll be able to facilitate the ball to him while also being able to create, Fox being able to create his own shots and, you know, and see how that offense works. I think the San Antonio Spurs have set themselves up to be in the right spot to continue to get better and to make noise in a heavy, loaded Western Conference, okay? So that's all I have for the NBA today. I mean, those trades have just been making noise, and I have been on Twitter, Instagram, all social media, just making sure, see who's getting traded, who's not getting traded, what teams are they going to be with. Like, the NBA trade deadline this year has just been insane, okay? Now, moving on, it is Super Bowl week, okay? And I've been holding off on making my prediction of who I think is going to win and why I think they're going to win. And I know last show, because I know you guys watched last show, I said it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. Well, it's a good thing that I am not betting any money, because I am going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. And the reason why is because Saquon Barkley is going to be the X factor. When the Eagles met the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they only ran the ball like 8 times for like 16 yards. Like, the numbers were just not great. But this is a different, and they had Miles Sanders at running back. This is Saquon Barkley, okay? And I'm not saying he's about to go and he's about to get 200 yards rushing against the Kansas City Chiefs. No, Steve Spagnuolo is too good of a defensive coordinator to allow that to happen, okay? But I do see him getting right around 105, I'll say between 90, 105 yards, okay? Because I don't think they're going to be able to contain Saquon and the offensive line to not get close or to reach 100 yards rushing, okay? That, and then also the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles, Lane Johnson said there's no way he's not playing in the game. He's gonna get right. He's gonna do everything he needs to do so that he can be as healthy as possible. And I think with that offensive line, even though that they are banged up, and even though the Kansas City Chiefs have a solid D-line, and I mean anchored by Chris Jones of all people, I sincerely think that offensive line will overpower the defensive line just enough and control the line of scrimmage better than they did the first matchup. And I think that's going to be the X factor, and that's going to be the reason why the Eagles win. But I think it's going to be a very close game. I'm seeing the Eagles winning 31-28 because both teams are going to score. It's going to be who's going to score the most points, okay? And I do think the Eagles are going to come at a way, way more balanced offensive attack than we've seen previously. I think they're going to allow Jalen to throw the ball more. They're going to allow him to rely on his receivers a little bit more instead of just running the ball down their necks. But when it gets late third quarter, fourth quarter, and if the game is close, oh, I am expecting Saquon Barkley to go to work. I'm expecting Saquon and that offensive line to go to work, okay? So that is my prediction for the Super Bowl. And before we wrap up this segment and move along to the questions in today's show, I also want to say Myles Garrett just announced that he wanted to be traded. And if you look at the odds of what team can get him based on cap space, based on draft picks, based on players that they can possibly trade with, the team that I think could possibly land Myles Garrett is the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know that that's insane to say. I know that that is insane to say. If the Eagles lose the Super Bowl, I 100% see Myles Garrett signing with the Eagles. If they win, I don't see him signing with the Eagles because he might not want that attached, you know, because he said he wants to win Super Bowls. But I think he doesn't necessarily want to have to, quote unquote, join a super team to do it. And coming, like, winning Super Bowl and then getting Myles Garrett and then him coming in, I don't know if that would necessarily sit right with him, but I can see them possibly losing the Super Bowl and him being like, if everything lines up and they got the picks and they want me, I'm going to the Eagles. I can see that. So I'm going to keep a very close eye on that for you guys so that we can, you know, and make more predictions, because I'm pretty sure there's some other teams that I'm not thinking about right now that'll be in prime position to acquire Myles Garrett. So, to my producer, do we have any questions in today?
You've got mail.
Yeah, Kayla, we got a couple emails here, two to be exact. First one is from the DJ Blaze Radio Show. Make sure you check them out.
Yes, please do shout out to, they're my brothers.
And sister. Okay, question is, I'm hearing rumors of a Jimmy Butler trade to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Let me read, actually. I'm hearing rumors of a Jimmy Butler trade to Phoenix. Do you think that will happen? Also, Myles Garrett requested a trade from the Browns. Do you think the Browns will make it happen? Or will he have to dwell in the NFL purgatory for another season?
Okay, so Jimmy Butler going to Phoenix. I think that that is a very high possibility. I just don't know where you're going to ship KD off to. Because like I said earlier in the show, there was like a three-team trade between the Miami Heat, Phoenix Suns, and the Warriors.
What the deal is, it is Butler going to the Suns,
mm-hmm.
KD going to the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
and Wiggins going to the
Heat. Yes,
yeah,
so Andrew,
Wiggins going to the Heat.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Andrew Wiggins earlier.
He's such an underachiever.
Yeah, he does just enough. Like,
he was supposed to be the next LeBron James, and he became Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Or I've seen people say he's not as bad as, like, Bol Bol. Like, Bol Bol could really be really, really good, but he just don't got that dog in him. Like, he just, okay. But anyway, sorry. I don't get off track, guys. But because KD is saying he does not want to go to the Warriors, and I think Phoenix, the organization, has enough respect for KD to not send him where he doesn't want to go, unless they are just super high on Jimmy Butler, which I'm not saying they shouldn't be high on Jimmy Butler, but to me, Jimmy Butler and Devin Booker play a very similar game.
Very much similar.
And I just don't see why you would just get they're not carbon copies, but you get the same player. Like, I don't understand why they would do that. So because of that, I'm going to say I don't think that trade is going to happen.
Yeah, because I think for Phoenix, they would need to land. They should want to keep Durant.
Yes.
While trying to land Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives up Durant, because it would give him a good trio. I mean, even if you got two guys that do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I'm with you. I don't think it.
No.
I don't think that's happening. On to the second part of the question, which was Myles Garrett requested a trade. Do you think the Browns will make it happen, or will he have to dwell in NFL purgatory for another season? The Browns are purgatory.
Yes. And living in Canton, Ohio for 2 years, that organization isn't getting better anytime soon. but so sorry to the Brownies. So sorry. But I think that he is going to be in purgatory for a little bit, because unless the price is absolutely right. Because I already know they're not going to send him to any divisional rival. They're not sending him to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, or Baltimore. That's out of picture. I don't see them sending him anywhere like that. I can see him going to the Eagles. The Eagles have 3 first round picks in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
I could see them possibly maybe sending. I mean, Howie Roseman has pulled off some other feats that we have not known. And I think if he can bundle the perfect package and give that to the Browns, that's the only way I see the Browns not having Myles Garrett in purgatory. But I think it kind of depends on, you know how I said earlier, how the organization feels about that player.
Yeah.
If the organization feels like we want to do right by you, then I don't think he's going to be in purgatory.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And with them drafting him, and he has been loyal to them when he really could have ran, and he stayed when they were trying to rebuild, but it's just not working out, I can see them not leaving him in purgatory and allowing him to go to a team. But it has to be for the right price. They're not going to do anything halfway. It's going to have to be the perfect package.
All right, so to that point, Sports Illustrated a couple of hours ago, 23 hours ago, dropped a article, the 5 potential landing spots for Myles Garrett. So I'm going to ask you, which one do you think is the best fit, and who has the most, which one is the best possibility?
Okay.
Matter of fact, let's go through each one.
Okay.
Say why not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Detroit Lions.
Yes. I can see that, how they're Well, they're going to have a new defensive coordinator this year.
But do they have the pieces? Do you think they have the pieces?
But they definitely have the pieces. They definitely have the pieces to make something happen.
Would it be giving up too much?
I think for them, because their team is so young, yeah, because you're probably going to have to draft somebody that could possibly you're going to have to, like, trade somebody that could possibly stay on your team for 5-6 years for an older Myles Garrett.
And a draft pick.
And they've been drafting so well.
I think that's why the reason why I don't see it. That's why I don't see it. But
from a playing standpoint, yes. Mm. From a what can be transpired between the two teams? No. Yeah.
Okay. The Green Bay Packers.
No. I don't necessarily know what the Green Bay Packers have. Another team is going to want. So, no. Especially not on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, because they would have to replace it with a defensive player and picks. Mm-hmm. All right. The Chicago Bears.
Not really. I don't see the Chicago Bears either. Yeah. I don't. And then that's another rebuild. I don't think he wants to be a part of another rebuild.
Yeah.
So I can see him telling them, just don't trade me to the Bears. I mean, it's potential with the Bears, don't get me wrong, but that could be another 2-3 years out. And I don't see him wanting to go into that situation, and I don't think the Bears have enough capital
to do it.
To do it to where it's appealing to the Browns.
Okay. This next one's intriguing.
Okay.
Washington Commanders.
Yes. And I can see them possibly giving up because they're going to have to give up more than one player. Mm-hmm. So I can possibly see them giving up like a Frankie Louvu linebacker.
That's what I was thinking.
And a Jeremy Chinn. Mm-hmm. And then Payne. I can't remember his first name, but he played for Alabama. DeJuan Payne, I think that's his name.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I could possibly see those three players being...
Yeah, DeJuan Payne.
Yeah, because those three players are really good, and all three of them are, besides Payne, are Swiss Army knives that can pretty much play in any defense. Mm. And the only reason why I know about Chinn and Louvu, so because they were Carolina Panthers. So I watched them get better and better over time. I think the Commanders would have the capital for that. And I think he saw what they did and how quickly they became good and how good Jaden Daniels is. Their offense is really good. And then he could be that missing link on defense because they had the worst rush defense in the league last year. So he would help them immediately. And you're helping a 12-win team immediately.
Yeah.
So I could see that. I could see that.
Now, the last one is the one I could see more than any of the other ones.
Okay.
The Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that one more than
I can. Out of those five, it's definitely like from how you...
It's the
opposite direction. Yeah, I definitely see the Bills and the Commanders being the top two places. Mm-hmm. The Bills need help defensively. And even though they don't play the same position, but Michael Hyde just retired. And they're going to have to really work on that defense. I think they kind of realized that Josh Allen isn't going to need that super, superstar number one wide receiver, like top five wide receiver in the league. Like he can, if he continue to not turn the ball over and be smart, they're not going to have to spend a lot of money on the offensive side of the ball. He'll be able to manage that offense and do what needs to be done. But that defense definitely needs help. And I think Myles Garrett can definitely anchor that defense and help them out because they also have some younger defensive tackles and linebackers and DNs that I think that he can help make them better.
Yeah, bring that leadership too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the defense, I think, that let them down more than anything else this year because Josh Allen played. You know, he almost had his best season, mm-hmm. I believe. So, shouts out to the DJ Blaze Radio Show, Corey Sin, my guy, B-Easy, and L. And, you know, B-Easy's a resident Pittsburgh fan.
Hey.
What do you think they need to do to be better than the middle of the road? Because we talked about it last week's episode. Like, they kind of, they always kind of fall in the middle. They'll make the playoffs, but then end up their draft pick isn't quite good enough to get a great player.
Yep.
but it ain't bad enough to get the worst player. It's kind of like right in the middle of the road when it comes to that. So what do you think they need to do to take a step forward so that they can could get back to being great than just being good?
Definitely they got to spend money on the offense side of the ball. They don't spend money on offensively. And that has been their – that's their Achilles heel. They can't score enough. Their defense can keep them in the game, but when it's time for we need a long drive or we need a quick touchdown, you know, to kind of change momentum and shift things, their offense can never do that when they really need to do it. And that's because they don't spend enough money on their offense. And you need – I saw that they want to re-sign Justin Fields.
I was going to ask you, Fields or Russ?
Fields. He's the younger guy. He's the guy that, I mean, he won you four games. And I think that he could have, if they would have taken the reins off him a little bit more, because I've also heard some chatter that Arthur Smith really wasn't allowing his quarterbacks to make plays at the line, even Russell, to make change plays at the line based on the defense that they're seeing. He wanted full control. So I think that they're definitely going to have to find an offensive coordinator that is going to allow the quarterbacks to shine, allow the quarterback to play 100% to his strengths, and then go out and spend money on the wide receiver core. They spent a little bit more money than they normally have on offensive line, and their offensive line went from being 29th in the league to like middle of the pack, 15th. Between 13 and 15, okay? So you spend a little bit of money there, you get middle of the pack. So now let's spend a little money on our wide receivers. I think you're going to have George Pickens. He's still going to be on a rookie contract, so you got him for another year, okay? And you don't have to spend a bunch of money on him. But there's some free agents, but the biggest free agent for me, if I'm Pittsburgh and I'm like, we need him immediately, they need to go out and get T. Higgins.
That's what we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins is the guy they just got. I think they just got to go get.
If the Steelers want to no longer be middle of the road, they need to go out and get T. Higgins.
Because that's a number one.
Yep.
Remember, we talked about it on this list. There's no other number ones.
No.
You got T. Higgins, Stephon Diggs, a little bit over the hill, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin. He's 28. You know, T. Higgins is 26. Of all the receivers on here, the average age is 30.
Yeah.
Except for Elijah Moore out of Cleveland, but
you know. I say they keep Calvin Austin. Mm-hmm. In the wide receiver room, you keep George Pickens, Calvin Austin, and then you go out and you get T. Higgins. And then you still have Roman Wilson. He didn't really get to show what he could do. He was a rookie coming out of Michigan. He battled with a lot of injuries and things that kind of sideline him, so we never got to see what he can do. But to me, he'll be very similar. If he can stay healthy and progress like how I think he can from how he played at Michigan, he could be a Tyler Lockett type of player. You know, players that they aren't the biggest, but it seems like they're always open.
Yeah.
And then when they need to go make a contested catch, they can, and they can be reliable. I think he has the potential to do that, but he has to stay healthy.
Yeah, because remember we talked about last week, the majority of the mock drafts had them at 21 taking Matthew Golden out of Texas, who probably, I thought he was an underrated wide receiver. I thought he could have. Yeah, so. But shouts out to the DJ Blaze Show for sending that in. Next question you have is from our guy, Sean, and he wants to get into some WNBA. Big story, WNBA, Dwana Bonner decides to sign with the Indiana Fever. What's your thoughts on that move?
I think the Indiana Fever is going to be they're a young, talented team anchored by Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
And they were able to click at the end of the season. And if I'm a veteran and I know I can go and help, like how, like Bonner, I mean, all-time great WNBA player, I would want to go there too because I know that I can help be the vet to kind of reel things in, but while also they can help my game as well. So I think that that's a good setup for her. I think she'll go there and make an immediate impact. I mean, I don't understand.
Because it does change the dynamic of that team.
Yeah.
It gives them a third option outside of Clayton Carter, the inside-outside game, and they got somebody else who could put it on the deck and make some stuff happen. So That was I thought that was a big pickup for them.
Yes, it was. I don't understand why the Connecticut Suns got rid of their entire starting five. like that starting five didn't just have like one of the best seasons for the Connecticut Suns in like the last 10 years?
Since existence.
Yeah, like that made no sense to me. But shout out to the Indiana Fever for getting better. Shout out to because also Jrue Lloyd going to the Aces.
Yes.
For sending Kelsey Plum to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Like the WNBA has some wild signings too now.
Yeah.
The basketball world is definitely getting explosive. But I know some people are like, why would you go out? Like Jrue Lloyd numbers don't necessarily match up with Kelsey Plum's, but you're talking about, of course, Kelsey Plum's number is going to be better than Jrue Lloyd. Jrue is the number one option. Anywhere she goes. Where Kelsey is really your third option because really, and sometimes could be the fourth because I'm just saying. So, but the Sparks, they get a veteran to go team up with Rekia Jackson and Cameron Brink, who's coming off her ACL injury. So you got to keep an eye out on them because that's going to be interesting too. And Kelsey Plum is also a great facilitator. I know she's known for being the two guard, but she can also facilitate when need be. And I think with having Rekia and Cameron, like that will be able, I think that will work out for the Sparks as well. And then I think the Aces got better as well. And I can see Jrue making an immediate impact with them and helping them get back to where they were.
Well, that's all for today. Make sure that you continue to send in the emails. What's the email again, Kim?
It is theoliperspective@gmail.com. Please send in your questions. I love this segment. It helps me connect with you guys better. So please send in your emails.